In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A few weeks ago, the Church celebrated the Feast of the Holy Trinity. It was a day that the Church annually remembers and celebrates, and is a day that we will celebrate for some 20 Sundays to come. The Sundays after Trinity speak to a fundamental truth of who God is. And in doing so, they say a great deal about the faith of the Church. On the Feast of the Holy Trinity, we see what our Lord's intention is concerning us. We are made to be in communion with Him. When God made Adam and Eve, they lived in communion with God. After they had transgressed, that communion was broken. But God's desire was not to sit back and see what would happen to man if he was left by himself. And so, when our first parents had sinned, when they broke communion with God, and when we in the world inherited the curse of death, which is a result and a sign of living in broken communion, when this had happened, God did not sit back and make us come to Him. Instead, the Father sent the Son, by His Spirit, to draw all men back to Himself. Our Lord God made us and then sought to redeem us and win us back, not because He had to do it, but because that is who He is. For God Himself is the very definition of communion. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three persons in such intimate communion with one another that they are not three, but one. And our loving God earnestly desires that we, all people, share and participate and live in and from this communion that He is. Man is not made to come to God by his own strength and understanding. God takes the initiative. He is the one that desires that we should come to Him. His purpose for creating man now is the same as it has been or was for our first parents, to be drawn to Him and live in communion with Him. What better display of this communion than that of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity in unity, the unity in Trinity, as we confessed a few weeks ago. The Church over the years has recognized this communion and continues to teach it so that we and others too are drawn into communion with God. And so today we see a continuation of that proclamation of the Trinity. We see how God the Father, sending the Son through the Holy Spirit, draws His people back to Himself to live in communion with Him. He displays the great love He has for His Son, for you. He brings His people back to Him to share in the heavenly banquet. The text today explains how the Son sought to use everything He was to receive upon the death of His Father right now. He wanted to live while He was still living, to get while the getting is good, so to speak. After all, He wouldn't be able to partake of all this bounty in the real world if He happened to die tomorrow. So He wanted His Father to give Him His share and give it to Him right now. Some might think He was an insolent son, requesting that He be given His inheritance while His dad was still alive. And to be sure, this is not a way to emulate. It is a reflection, or not a reflection, of honoring our father and mother. But the reality is, this son did in fact have everything coming to him that he received. It was indeed all his, and he understood this. In a strange sort of way, the son trusted his father implicitly, knowing that he would get what he asked for, knowing that what the Father had was in fact his. The problem was he wanted it in his time and not the Father's. Yet the Father allowed him to have the goods, so to speak, and allowed him to suffer. In actuality, it had to be this way. For in the suffering was the working out of the Son's salvation. The Son, Jesus Christ, was given all things, yet he had to suffer all things. This had to be for the working out of our salvation. In the prodigal son, we see Jesus Christ himself. But what about all those bad things that the son was doing? This doesn't sound like Jesus. This can't be Jesus. Wrong. That is exactly who Jesus was. That is exactly who Jesus is because of you and me. He became sin for us. All our trespasses were heaped upon the one that could bear them. He, Jesus Christ, would suffer for our sins. He would suffer even to death on the cross. And when this suffering had been completed, he would rise up from the pig pen and go to his Father and plead for the forgiveness of the world. He would stand in your stead, suffering death on the cross, so that you could be counted righteous. And upon this resurrection, there was a whole company of heaven singing praises for the Lamb of God who takest away the sin of the world. For his Son had went into the bowels of the earth and come back. And because of this, the Father rejoices and rushes out to meet him, to meet you, to draw you to himself. And the Father in joy throws a banquet feast for all to partake. He gathers you into his arms and brings you to the heavenly banquet, a banquet which you partook of in this very place yesterday, a foretaste of the banquet of eternity, a banquet in which we are truly united in communion with one another, both those who have gone before and us now. That is, united in a communion with the whole company of heaven and in the One, the unity in Trinity, and the Trinity in unity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to live in communion with God. So we celebrate it, we rejoice in it, and we sing. In suffering be thy love my peace, in weakness be thy love my power. And when the storms of life shall cease, O Jesus, in that final hour, be thou my rod and staff and guide, and draw me safely to thy side. Amen.